support that. So it's really a time savings, but it's all public knowledge.
What's the lag between the consultant's work and it becoming a public record? So is there a space of time in which they could...
Every piece of paper that they give us is a public record. So every time they turn over a draft of a report or a draft of a study, it is a public record. Now, whether people know to ask for it or not, that's another question.
But it's not real time. It's not daily, for example. So they may have a period of time in which they could use information that they gathered to benefit other clients.
I don't think it's a benefit to other clients, but yes, there is a time lag between during the time they're producing it and the time they turn it
roughly
over to us.
Roughly, time lag would be?
Depends what the nature of it is. It could be days. It could be weeks.
Okay. Thanks.
Good afternoon, Ms. Wolf. First of all, whether this violates the Code of Ethics or not, I want to applaud you for the steps you've taken within your department to make sure there is integrity and transparency. So I think there's a lot of things that go on within government that may not be a violation of this code, but it's important that we have safeguards. So I want to thank you for doing that. I just had a couple questions as it relates to the ordinance. The specific consultant in question here, are they somehow an official or an employee or a board member or anything relating to the county? They have any affiliation to the county other than this contract?
No.
Okay. The contracts that they're let, are they contingent fee contracts in any way dependent upon the outcome of the project or timeliness or anything like that?
No.
I think that's all I have. Thank you.
I also applaud you for your being here today and the efforts you're taking. I'm curious to know, though, the safeguards that you refer to, when were those put in place?
I would say that, well, some of them I would say have been there for the 20 years that Ross and I have been there. Some of them more recent, the disclosures of related relationships, I would say came around in 2004, 2005. Mm-hmm. That was probably the last one we did.
Not being familiar with the protocol internally as in the flow of work and these things, despite the fact that some of this information may be public and despite the fact that you've attempted to put in some safeguards, experience, at least in terms of accounting and forensics, dictate that with collusion, two parties can always override or circumvent safeguards. I don't know how to ask the question because I don't know the protocol, but in your estimation, were there collusion between members of the county and certain consultants? Could there be significant violations of public trust?
I don't think so at all. No, I really don't. My personal opinion is that what we're doing is so unique that it's not like a typical developer where there's multiple places you can put and you're negotiating. As I indicated before, there is very few times that we can even find one site that meets our criteria. Everybody knows about it. We have specific objectives in place, and they're not monetarily driven. They're service delivery driven. And I don't know what, even if somebody wanted to try, I'm not sure what do we got them. I think it could be very rare.
Sure. To your knowledge, has the subject entity or anyone else that you're aware of ever been involved in a controversy associated with land in the county?
Well, every application is controversial to someone in the land development world.
I don't mean in that context. I mean in the context of public corruption.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, because there's people that stood up and brought this one forward to begin with, obviously alleging that was going on. So, but I don't believe that happened.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe re-ask my question. To the extent that some of these parties that well, the subject party in this request and any others, whether they have ever been involved in an issue with a tract of land in the county that resulted in something illegal.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Have you had any problems that are facing you? For example, do you find that the contractors who represent the county or use this as their positions with the county as a means of implying that I have the faith of the county and therefore I'm the guy you ought to get to do this job?
I don't think so. I mean, somebody else may have a different opinion, but I don't think so because there's really no relationship between planning, zoning, and building and SDO. And, you know, we're performing two totally different tasks. And I think it's more one developer versus another. I mean, if you have a particular client and they're considered to be a elite client, you know, it's just like that because we're really doing the same thing as a private developer.
Why do you perceive there is a problem?
I don't perceive there is a problem. We understand why the public could perceive that just because any time that there are public and private people working for public and private sector, you can see where they would perceive that there is that problem.
I guess that's my question. Why are you here if you don't perceive that there is a problem?
Oh, I'm here because the Board of County Commissioners had referred it over to you, and I was just trying to provide you some background.
Okay.
But staff does not believe that there is a conflict or a problem.
Okay. Anything else? Anybody?
I can kind of rescue Ms. Wolf for a second here, because she's kind of caught in the middle. Commissioner Reinhart hit the nail on the head with his questions. This is not technically a violation of the Code of Ethics because vendors are not officials or employees. The Code of Ethics only applies to officials or employees. If the vendors were part of boards and they had contracts with the county, that would be one thing. But the Board of County Commissioners felt that if the public said there's a perception of an ethical problem, it was a reflex that they sent it to this commission. It's one of the issues that this commission, a side issue, but a major issue, that this commission will need to determine as we go on. Can the Board of County Commissioners, when this commission doesn't have jurisdiction over the subject matter, can they ask for an advisory opinion either to give them the benediction or to tell them this doesn't look right? That's something for this body to make a determination whether that it's appropriate or not. But since there was that perception, and I think that the email even was written in such a way that anybody reading it would have that perception from Mr. Weissman, that's why it's here and that's why Ms. Wolf's here. So I don't even know that there's anything for this commission to decide, and clearly many of these things, if not all of them, will be tabled till the next meeting. But now you have the information.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah.
What type of answer do you think we should give back to the county commission?
From a legal perspective, there is no conflict. From the perspective of how far this commission goes, as far as perceptions, dicta, if you will, that's something for this commission to decide. In this particular instance, there may not be any dicta either. There may be no jurisdiction. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. There's no conflict with the code. But that's, again, that's for the commission.
Well, I'd say, as Ms. Wolf pointed out, and obviously Mr. Weissman or some commissioners already are concerned about the perception that the public may have, and it's a worthy discussion at the very least whether this body is it's appropriate for us to grace any such contract or opinion ahead of time. Is I'm not sure that I want to do that, but But at the end of the day, I'll say again that our role here is to maintain public trust in whatever way we can. So,
may I ask, Ms. Wolf, is there any provision in their contract about the use of knowledge that they gain through the contract until it becomes a public record? Is that an area that might be a vulnerability?
I guess if you perceive that there's risk associated with it, we don't believe that that information is of any particular benefit, but it certainly is something that they have that nobody else doesn't, or that nobody else does.
Right, and that's where the perception of a problem comes in, doesn't it?
Yes, I think so. I just don't think it's worth anything to
you
update.
Don't, no, there's no market value,
yes,
is what you're
no
saying.
Market.
Well, market value is hard to determine from the outside. If the consultant has clients with interests,
I agree.
Then it's worth something. So they may have land that's adjacent that has similar properties, but they don't have to pay for an evaluation of those properties because the consultant has already done that work, et cetera, et cetera. So I think contractually you have ways of addressing this that, so it doesn't become something that we need to address, but it would be questions for you to address in terms of contract provisions if you think there's a public perception.
Yeah, I mean, that exists now, and that's just a function of public record. I mean, because any property evaluation we do, the adjacent property owner can come get it and make whatever assumptions they want to make it to the applicability of their property and make decisions based on work products of us for us for whatever purpose they want, and that's just kind of a function of the whole public record.
Yeah, but it's the gap between when it becomes a public record that makes something perhaps valuable. So I think that's the only area of vulnerability that I see. But.
Okay. What is your place?
Well, we're going to take a pass on all these for the moment, aren't we? We're still collecting information, and Ms. Wolf was here to give us information, which I thank her for, because I think I understand a little bit better now the process and the issues.
Thank you, Mrs. Wolf. We'll take it under advisement, as they say.
And thank you, Mr. Herring.
All right, Mr. Johnson.
Well, let's go ahead and go to 4D, the proposed code revisions. Again, Mr. Berger's not he's called away. So, and with regard to 4D and also 5, with 5, I have specific pending requests. With 4D, these are issues mainly, and so they're here for discussion purposes to see, to kind of bring these issues to the to the attention of the commission. And number one is how we view contracts and board appointments. Whether they're grandfathered until reappointment or the contract is renewed. Here's what I mean. All contracts with the county are term contracts, and all appointments are term appointments, mostly a year. That's the norm. I've been informed that that's the norm length of contract or length of appointment. The interpretation of codes, similar codes in the past by other jurisdictions, including the courts, including the Florida Supreme Court, is that when an ordinance is introduced, it's substantive and therefore not retroactive. Mr. Berger. Mr. Berger, don't waste your time sitting over there. Come on up. Use my mask. And some of these issues that are here on the agenda involve specific areas that Mr. Berger wants to tighten up on the ordinance as far as proposed amendments to the ordinance. Now, the grandfather issue, and Mr. Berger, correct me if I'm wrong, but most contracts and most board appointments are for a year duration.
Generally speaking, sometimes the board terms are longer, but most professional services contracts are per year with renewal. There are some exceptions, but
And again, based on the research that I've been able to do so far, people are able to ride out their contracts and their term on the board without being disturbed as violating the ordinance. So in other words, if somebody's 6 months into their term on the zoning advisory board, and they also have a contract with the county, but not a specific ethical violation, not a conflict of interest. What I would recommend is that they just be entitled to or able to finish up their term, and then they would not be eligible to be reappointed. The same thing with a contract. Any amendment to the contract, any adjustment to the contract, or any renewal of the contract, or any additional contract, would then kick the ordinance in, and they would be in violation of the ordinance as an official having a prohibited contractual relationship with the county.
You're saying if it were a violation, if it started today, the fact that it's in place already would make it not a violation?
Correct. It would be a violation if there's a conflict of interest or a misuse of office. I mean, there could be other violations, but the prohibited contract, unless there's some other violation of the code, what the research that I've seen has been that's grandfathered, and that they can complete whatever term they have. But as soon as something changes, either with the board that they're on, or the contract, or any additional contracts, then it would be after the fact, after the ordinance became effective, and therefore that provision would apply. Because it's a classic ex post facto law. You're already involved and you're doing something. You already have this contract, and unless there's a conflict of interest that's ongoing, the courts have looked at that, and also the opinions have looked at that as okay. Let them finish out their term, basically, unless there's a specific conflict.
Would that be analogous to the firm that I'm employed by bidding for the county audit and then winning that bid? Would that mean that I would ride out my term even though that would be a violation?
No, because they would win the bid after the ordinance was in place. If they had won the bid on February 28th and you were already on a board or commission, then yes, for the term of that contract or for your term on the board, that would be what's considered grandfathered, unless you have some...
So I wouldn't have to resign from this commission if they... tomorrow.
If it's tomorrow, yes.
Okay.
Well, and that's another issue to be discussed, but yes, according to the plain language of the prohibited contract, yes, you would.
You'll be able to provide us that case law or that authority or those
yes,
opinions?
Yes, I actually was just checking, and I saw Dade County, and I think there was some Attorney General opinions as well. And I can get those to you.
Right. I'd like to see those before we decide that.
Do we have a pending formal request for an opinion, or is this just you see this issue coming and you want to get a kind of an advisory opinion from us about it?
Well, we have, we don't have any, we have one, I believe, one retroactive, but it wasn't a specific request. But I'm getting...
And I think the training said that it was not... going to apply until there was a renewal.
Oh, okay.
If I can.
Yeah, please.
I really had to jump ahead and make these decisions pending the development of your board. And it was really based on a line of case law that says, you know, when you're dealing with regulations, unless it explicitly says that it's retroactive in nature, you don't apply it retroactively. And I was viewing that body of case, I think I shared a couple with Al, and he'll pass them along to you. But, you know, that, and simply pragmatically speaking, there are thousands and thousands of contracts that were in place when this ordinance took effect, and 950-some-odd advisory board members who were serving. And from a pragmatic standpoint, it didn't seem to be the practical approach. And given what most of the law says, it seemed to make most sense. And bear in mind, both of those elements have to be in place. The person, the contract had to be in place, and the board member had to be sitting as a board member on March 1st when the ordinance took effect. When either of those two things change, then we're back, then the ordinance applies.
And there is a Supreme Court of Florida opinion from 1994 dealing with the whistleblower statute, which talks about not retroactively on a administrative statute, not retroactively applying that statute to the rights and the vested rights or situations that unless it specifically refers to it.
Do you have a time certain, like 1 year?
It really, it depends on one of the two things, the nature of the contract. When it comes time to renew it, that's a new contract and it's mm-hmm. no longer grandfathered. If there's a need to amend it, same difference. Mm-hmm. When the person's term ends and they need to be reappointed, that's when you have the issue.
How long could it go on?
It said for the most part, I'm talking in gross numbers, mm-hmm. the terms of board appointments are usually a year, and most contracts are a year. Some are certainly longer, but just to throw it out there, I guess the majority of them are about that long.
I think some of the dangers that happen in there is there's so many of these things that continue by way of consent agenda.
Not with us.
No. Okay. I know in the municipalities, sometimes these contracts and appointments things just roll over and over.
There has to be actual board action, or even if there is in limited circumstances, some department heads can renew or enter into contracts of a certain size, small size. But that's a new contract, and in our view, again, the grandfathering nature of it is over.
And the functioning of these boards, can you tell me whether they have any, once the contract is in place, whether they have any sort of power or authority over that contract in a way that that one might have to recuse him or herself from?
Sorry, I'm hijacking this.
That's okay.
The vast majority of the time, the advisory boards don't have anything to do with the contracts. And that's why there is I don't know if we've gone through this yet, but there is a waiver provision for these conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
A great number of these circumstances, the person on the advisory board doesn't have anything to do with the contract, much less with the position on an advisory board. Now, and again, that's not to say that those kinds of situations don't occur, and there can be times where some vote or some action would directly affect them, and there are broader conflict of interest rules in the ordinance that cover that, so the person couldn't somehow, maneuver an advisory board's decision to his own private benefit, notwithstanding even the waiver that a county commissioner could, the county commissioner.
We haven't brought up the issue of waiver, which is going to come in some. There are some future specific requests, and the county commission would prefer that this commission make determinations, but really, essentially, I think the waiver provision is that it is there for a reason.
How frequent is a waiver issue?
We're just starting. To be honest with you, there was a narrower version of this in state law that exists, and we would do this once every couple of years.
Okay.
This is much broader, and so I expect there will be more. But it's really, I really don't have a very good feel for it yet. We've had, there are two on the agenda, one on the agenda today, I think, and there were two on the agenda 2 weeks ago in front of the county commission. A lot of it because it's brand new and all of them are coming up at once.
Waivers with respect to the ethics code?
Correct. Yeah. But being an advisory board member whose firm was doing business with the county in some other area. I think one, just as an example, somebody was sitting on a public arts board who I guess has a hand in deciding what, I really don't know, it's a sort of an art in public places program that the county has, and the person's engineering firm has done engineering work with some other area of the county. Just to give you an example of where the two things really don't even interact.
just so I'm clear, Mr. Johnson, these 4D items are advisory opinions. They haven't been raised yet by any particular person. There has been no specific request for an advisory opinion.
Yes, that's true. These are not specific requests.
Okay. So we can, at this point, just treat them very cursory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're just giving us a heads up that this is coming down the pike,
right,
or might come down the pike at some point in the future.
These are issues that either came up obliquely or I see them in terms of what other jurisdictions had to go through. And you look at the code, some of these have to do with the proposed revision.
Okay.
The next one on the list is contingent fee prohibition, which... when you think about it, real estate brokers, they work on commission, and somebody who sells copiers or salesman works on commission. Now, it's interesting because the plain language of the code, and I have done some research, and again, Mr. Berger's done some research on this prior, there are specific exemptions. And when you read the code, you say, well, how can they come to that conclusion? But I've found in Dade County there are a plethora of exemptions where they consider people who lobby on behalf of something, and they're salesmen, so they're lobbying on behalf of, you know, getting their copier machine company to sell more copiers to a board or a municipality. They were saying, well, that's not part of the statute. Lobbyists are not included in the prescription. And then there's a case out there specifically talks about real estate. And what they say is, in terms of industry standards, if something is a commission that's a standard in the industry, like a real estate commission, it's not encompassed in this contingent fee prescription. So I want to raise it because we'll probably see it for advisory opinions. And I will forward as I get them, but I just didn't want to dump a bunch of paperwork on the commission. But I have, you know, everything, you know, I've been doing legal research. Mr. Berger's been very helpful as well. And it seems like most of the cases that would come before this commission will involve legitimate commission items and not contingent, as the courts have defined it.
If I can ask you, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Berger, what was the core conduct that this provision was meant to prohibit? Because it says no person shall give to another person. It's awfully, awfully broad. So what is it really designed to get to?
I think that these were... these were sort of bonus fees and success fees, and this is a vestige of state law. Again, this is a prohibition against that applies to executive branch lobbyists in Tallahassee. Dade County used the same language, but that's essentially what it was there to get. It is a lot broader the way it was written, and again, we took, right or wrong, we took the language that was already there, and... And we'll probably, again, and like Al was saying, recommending some ways to pare it back to meet case law. It is one of the proposed changes that I'll read to you.
Okay.
Later
on.
Yeah. Now, actually, we can probably take the proposed change. If you look on your ordinance, the long
page seven,
and then look to page seven.
Yeah.
In yellow and underlined is the proposed change to the ordinance that Mr. Berger. Came up with.
To give you some measure of comfort, the first sentence is basically verbatim from the Supreme Court opinion that said the contingent fee prohibition didn't apply to realtors. And the second sentence is actually an exception that was carved out of the state statute that I had just referred to earlier. And that sort of reflects a couple of the opinions out of Dade County, I think.
Well,
I just want to raise something very quickly, Mr. Johnson. I know we in the past have